But I tell our church all the time that God's been so good to me. When I wasn't faithful to Him as a Christian, He's always been faithful to me. When I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, He's been faithful. And I like that song that He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. There has been a Christmas, a Thanksgiving, New Year's that I spent overseas in 1968 and 69 in Vietnam. Had I have died over there, I'd be in hell today. But God looked beyond all the times, and He knew that one day that I'd trust Him as my Savior. For one that did so much for you and I, how can we do so least for Him? I appreciate the message of Brother Gene. Why? Well, I'm ashamed to ask why now after he got done. I appreciate the excitement and the message from Brother Doug. If I run around like that, I'll have a heart attack. So I'm just going to kind of stay back here for right now and give you God's word the best I can for the next few moments. I'll be brief. I'm only long-winded when I stay at our church because they won't run me off. I tried here a number of months ago, and I don't know if all the church knows it or not, but we got a good church and got good people. And financially is in good shape. Spiritually, I believe, is in good shape. But come a time when I felt like I'd just maybe done all I could do and somebody else could do a better job, and I'd just stay there and work and help that person or do preaching at homecomings and some things like that. But I'm glad for people that are faithful that'll pray for you. And after I had told the fellers what I had thought about doing, they come back a few weeks later and said, listen, we don't want you to go nowhere. We want you to stay. And so I appreciate men that'll stick behind you. Amen. Amen. Right. And that'll encourage you.
Yep.
Because there's nothing any more important next to salvation than being in the will of God. The most miserable person you'll find in the church house is the Christian that's out of the will of God. The most peaceful man and the most content person you'll find is one that's in the will of God. Now let me say this, the will of God is not always easy to know. We have an adversary, his name is Satan, and he's always as a roaring lion, the Bible said. He's trying to discourage, detract us, and get us out of the will of God. He will use any means, anyone, or anything to do that and accomplish that. But you and I, as we go into 2015, we've got to make up our minds that we're going to live for Jesus. Amen? We've got to put Him first and foremost in our lives. For one who did so much for you and I, how can we do so least for Him? Turn in your Bibles over into Luke chapter number 9. Just share these brief scriptures with you, and we'll talk to you about as we go into the new year of 2015 about a word that means commitment. If everybody at New Life Baptist Chapel was committed, our church would be full every service. If every member of Rock of Ages was committed, your church would be full every service. If every member of Harmony Baptist Church, which many of you are here tonight, was committed, the church would be full every service.
Yep.
If every member of Gene Thomas down at Center Baptist was committed, the church would be full every service.
Yep. Yep.
So why isn't it full? For one who did so much for you and I, why do we do so little for Him?
Yep.
Because we're not committed to it.
Yep.
All we say, we love Him. We'll sing the songs of Zion. We may even go visit. But are we really committed or just going through the motions? In the Bible, Luke chapter number 9, look at verse 51 through verse number 56. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what ye manner of spirit ye speak of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Brother Frank, you pray for us tonight, if you will.
Father, we are thankful tonight, Lord, that you've come to visit with us. We're thankful for the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every song, the message. Now we pray for Brother Tom that you'll anoint and fill him. May the words which he speaks tonight be the words in which we need to hear. Bless now, we pray, in the remainder of this night. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. Commitment. To commit to the delivery of a person or thing in the charge of or keeping of another. To entrust. So tonight, when we talk about commitment, we're entrusting our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in that verse 51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In Psalms 37 verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit means to roll over upon the Lord. Commitment means to deposit one's life in God's hand to do God's will. Commitment means stepping out by faith and trusting God with all and everything you have, your life, your home, your money, your church, everything you have is what that means right there. It's a commitment we made. Amen. Commitment means buying a one-way ticket. Not turning back, not coming back. It's a one-way ticket. No round trip. It means just like bungee jumping. You've seen these people that are not too bright up in West Virginia that jump off that bridge. Friends, I'm telling you, that's trusting in that bungee cord. I mean, they're going one way, and they've done paid the fare, and if that rope don't hold, honey, they're gone. But why can people like that do a sport for excitement trust God with their lives, and some of them are not even saved, and you and I that know Jesus can't trust him in every area of our lives? Committed. Can't stop halfway and get a refund when you do that. But pastors say, and our church has heard this a number of times in different ways, I can't get my people committed, Brother Frank. Oh, they're committed all right, but they're committed to all the wrong things. Now, I'll get in on some of that in just a moment. This is the most committed generation that you and I, we have ever lived in. You know why? They're committed to making the house payments. They're committed to taking the boat out on Sundays. They're committed to making the payments on the boat. They're committed to make the payments on the new car. They're committed to make the payments on the new home. They're committed to everything except the main thing, and that's Jesus. Dr. Percy Ray, 50 years in the ministry, that's commitment. That's commitment. Thank God for people that have paved the way that would let us come behind and continue on passing on the faith. David Eden's 20 years in the Sahara Desert. 15 people saved in 20 years. My God, if we only had 15 people saved in 20 years, we'd wonder where the Holy Ghost of God was. But here's a missionary out in the Sahara Desert. 15 people saved, no written language, took sounds, made a language, translated, and taught those people, and 15 were born again in those. That's commitment. Noah was committed in his time. Why can't you and I be committed in our time? Noah was committed in the face of all the opposition. Everything stood against him. But you know what? When the rains came and the floods came, thank God his home was saved. Why? Because he was committed. Let me tell you something. You want your home saved? You want your family saved? You want your brothers and sisters saved? Hey, get committed. Nobody wants a wishy-washy Christian. Nobody wants a half-havered testimony, in and out, up and down. And that's what we see in many of our churches today. They're not committed to the right thing. Abraham was committed. In the face of skepticism, he was committed. He went looking for a country. He didn't know exactly where he was going, but he trusted God. Daniel was committed in the face of opposition. Look at all the things that happened to Daniel. Buddy, when they had got out that decree and the king put his signet on it, you know what? Hey, he still went and prayed three times a day. Why? Because he was committed.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, we better get committed to days and hours which we live. Hey, we're fixing to see some things change, honey. Things are going to change, and they're going to change sometimes in the church house. But we're going to have committed people. Moses was committed when he went down there and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." An impossible task as far as human standards, but nothing is impossible with God. The three Hebrew children were committed. They were committed. Hey, they'd rather burn than bow. They were committed. What's wrong with you and I in the day and hour in which we live? God has been so good to all of us. Every one of us. Nobody in here has any reason to grumble, gripe, or complain. But these people right here, these men in the Bible, they were committed to selling out for God. They weren't perfect. Neither are you and I. But we can be committed and be less than perfect, my friends. Problem is, we're trying to figure out how God's always going to do it. You know what? Hey, I'm just finding out here. I'm almost 65 now. I'm just finding out. You know what? If I'll just do what God says, he'll take care of all of it. Where God guides, he always provides. The will of God will never take you. Hey, where the grace of God won't protect you. Amen. But you're always trying to figure it out. Hey, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay the bill? Listen, give it to God and let him take care of it. But now when you get committed, here's what's going to happen. Conflict. Now, nobody likes conflict that's in their right mind. But once you get committed, there's going to be some conflict. In verse number 53, "And they did not receive him because his face was as he would go to Jerusalem." In other words, he was misunderstood. Let me tell you something. When you and I stand for Christ and we're committed, we're going to be misunderstood. We're going to be misunderstood by some in the church house. We're going to be misunderstood some in your house. And we're going to be misunderstood by this world. They have no idea what we're doing tonight. They have no idea why we're here. But we know that there's a God in heaven that loves sinners and he saved us one day. And we're here to worship him and praise him. Oh, he was misunderstood. And you know what? He had a message that the world hated. Yeah. Let me tell you something. This message that we got, this world don't love us. They hate us. They hate us talking about sin. They hate us talking about fornication and adultery. They hate us talking about homosexuality and lesbian. They hate us talking about all those things. But nevertheless, let them hate. Because God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, they hated the message. The world hated committed people. If you want everybody to like you, here's what you do. Do nothing. Be nothing. Say nothing. But if you're committed, you know what you are labeled as? A fanatic. You know what a fanatic is? It is someone that is overzealous about whatever topic they are talking about. Overzealous, excited about it, a fanatic. Why can't we be fanatics for Christ? I told somebody a while back, and I've told our church, I'm crazy about the one that died for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm crazy about the one that shed his blood for me. Why can't we be fanatical about the Lord Jesus Christ? What's wrong with lifting your hands toward heaven? What's wrong with saying amen? What's wrong with saying praise the Lord? What's wrong with singing the songs of Zion and getting a blessing? Yeah, we're fanatical. Something wrong with us. And you know what the Bible says? Hey, there's a day that they'll call good evil and evil good. And we're living in that day right now, friends. We're the bad people. And all we're trying to do is point people to Jesus, trying to get them into heaven. But you're going to have some conflict. You're going to have conflict. Fanatics. I like football. I like to watch Sunday night football. I like to watch Sunday afternoon football. I like to watch the fanatics in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, they think something's wrong with us. But now, a man that would go out there in 10 below zero weather with no shirt on and put a big G up there on and stand up there when the camera's waving and everything, that's a fanatic. Now, if he can go out there and root for his team, and you know what? We can't even get the God's people to come to church.
Go ahead,
Reverend.
Go ahead,
Reverend. Yeah. By the way, thank God you paid the bills, right? But we can't get God's people to come to the house of God. And they say they love Jesus. But yet this other crowd, the worldly crowd out there in Green Bay at 10 below, they love their sport and they're fanatical about their team more than God's people are about his. Well, if you're going to be a fanatic, I'm going to tell you some things are going to happen. You're going to have to endure some pain along the way. You're going to have, there's going to be some days that's going to be lonely along the way. There's going to be some devils to put up with in the church and outside of the church. I just found out that, and please don't think hard of me, I just share with you how I feel. I just found out that two devils that used to be at our church are now visiting Brother Doug's. Hey, can I do you a favor? Some devils that you're going to have to put up with in the church and outside of the church. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame that people get ruffled over so little of things? And they get ruffled over the minor things and the major things, hey, they don't care about when people are dying and going to hell.
Yeah, you're right.
But you're going to be misunderstood. You're going to have some hatred toward you. Not everybody likes me. My dog does. My wife does most of the time. I love myself all the time. I get up in the morning, I'll go in there and I'll look mirror, mirror on the wall. Is Tom still the fairest of them all? He said, yes, he is. But in verse 54, these disciples here who were uncommitted responded wrong. And you know what? Hey, when you're committed and people talk about you, just say praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know what? It's showing up their sorriness and their slackness.
Yeah, right.
Conflict is only a problem for those that are uncommitted. I like that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day.
Amen.
Still pressing as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Yeah.
And you know what? Hey, the higher up you get, you know what happens? The smaller everything looks down there.
Yeah.
You got problems today? Just get up a little higher, and you know what? Hey, they'll look a little littler to you. Because you're getting closer to Him, the one that's the author and finisher of your faith, the one that can help you with your problems. Oh, I'm pressing on that upward way. But there's going to be some consequences. And they went to another village, verse 56. Committed people, do not let conflicts detour them. If every time me and my wife had a disagreement or a conflict, and I'd leave, I wouldn't have to do that about twice. I couldn't get back in the door. But you see, God's people, God's people have a way of dealing with conflict. You know what it is? Just leave. Just leave. Don't worry about it. Just leave. Go somewhere else. And that's the way most of them deal with conflict. Very few in God's house are willing to work out problems. Very few. They'd rather run than work the problem through. But what they don't know, when they run, you know what's happening? They're taking the problems with them. And you know what? Hey, until they make this problem right here, they're going to be a problem somewhere else. And you know what? Hey, that conflict is going to go on and on and on. So as we come into 2015, would you resolve in your heart to be committed to the Lord? I don't know what He's asked you to do. The only person I know is me. That's the only one I can answer for. You can only answer for you. But I'll tell you what, if you're committed to Christ, you know it. If you're committed to Christ, He knows it. And you're not fooling anybody most of the time except yourself. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All this He did for you and me. Now, why can't we be committed to Him this year? You say, well, you know, it's kind of dark. I have people tell me some of the stupidest stuff sometimes. I mean, I'm just like Mr. Rogers, you know. But you better watch out for Mr. Rogers. Did you know Mr. Rogers? He wasn't always wearing that nice little sweater and putting on them little tennis shoes. Did you know Mr. Rogers had 23 confirmed kills? He was a sniper. Before he became a Presbyterian minister. You know that about Mr. Rogers? Watch him when he puts on that sweater. The Bible tells us this right here, and it speaks to every one of us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
That's right.
In other words, when God's asked us to do that, He's not asked us to do anything unreasonable.
That's right.
Reasonable service. What's reasonable service? Well, I figure, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school,
that's right.
Visitation, prayer time.
Amen.
Hey, why can't we do those things? I tell you what, now this is going. I can hit on this right here anywhere it shuts down. If we didn't have as many TVs in the house as we have,
there you go.
We'd be doing a whole lot more praying.
Amen.
And if we do a lot more praying, we'd see a lot more results in our house and in God's house. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But here's our problem. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, our minds need to be transformed if we're going to be committed. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. When we start thinking like Christ, we'll start acting like Christ. Amen? Because our mind is up here. You said that about the Facebook. You know what I've told our church? I said, I'll tell you what. If you'll get out of the Facebook and get in the good book, hey, some of your family might get saved. If you get out of Facebook and get in the good book, you know what? Hey, you might learn something about God. I tell our church all the time, I said, do you want to know what God thinks? All you got is right here. He's going to tell you what it is. If you think something's wrong, he'll show you something's wrong. You have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit living within you.
Amen.
Hey, he's the lead, guide, and direct you in all truths. He's not going to steer you wrong. But we need to be committed. Committed. Are you committed today, tonight? Are you committed? Is your family committed? Don't expect your family members and your loved lost ones, I'm going to tell you this, don't expect them to come to the house of God if you can't do it yourself. They're watching you. I'll give you a little example. Back when I was in the third grade, I was raised over in the Bessemer section of Greensboro. My daddy didn't go to church. None of that crowd went to church. Every day, every Sunday, this man, woman, and three kids, while daddy sit on the perch and I played in the yard, rode up by the church house. Oh, look at them. Don't they think there's something riding in that Cadillac up through there? But you know what? Hey, I ain't never forgot that they went to church on Sunday. You know what? Hey, on Wednesday night, they were committed. They knew what it was all about. And finally, a year and a half before daddy died, he figured out what it was all about. Thank God for that. But when will you make a commitment this year? Will you commit not to be absent one Sunday? Well, Brother Tom, you know, somebody's got a stomach ache in here. I know that tonight, but that's not referring to that. They told me here a while back, said, you can't come to church because they... Yeah, well, he's so much yogurt, he had to go to the restroom. I said, well, what's wrong? We got a restroom here at the church. Yeah, we got a restroom at the church. I got some that say, Brother Tom, I can't come to church because I've been to the doctor. And he told me don't get in the crowd. I said, when's your next appointment? Oh, I got to go next week. Now, wait a minute. He's telling you not to come to church and get in a crowd, and you're going to go back there and give him more money to sit in the sickest place in town? Amen. That's why they give him a hypocritical oath. I'm not going to blow my horn because my church knows the deal. In 2013 of April the 30th, I had prostate cancer surgery. I had it at 8 o'clock that morning. Frank was down there in case anything went wrong. I wanted somebody to be my wife, you know. Say a little prayer or something, do something. Don't just come out there and say he's dead. And like I say, I'm just telling you, people do, Brother Dave, what they want to do. And you sitting in here tonight, you do what you want to do too. The surgery was Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Brother Frank, I asked, they was the only one to let him come back there then. And it was down at the VA hospital in Salisbury. And I'm still here, amen. But hey, I told him, I said, now Frank, I want you to pray and before they give me the shot. And after they give me the shot, I'm going to tell you this. Ha, 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 Frank, I'm going to get tutored. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. We left the hospital on about 4 or 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Everything went great. If I had got there, could have got there in time to go to church, I would have went to church Wednesday night. Why? Because that's where I wanted to be. People do what they want to do. If you're committed to God, nobody will have to beg, pump, and prime you to serve God or come to God's house. Demonstration. Now, I ain't going to do it like you can do it now. I just can't do that fast no more. I'm missing somebody a couple of Sundays. Yeah, what's wrong? I get them pumped up, and boy, they're ready to go. I look over there, and the crowd I just pumped up 2 weeks ago, they're going backwards again. So I'm running over here. And the preacher spends most of his time pumping people up that say they're saved by the grace of God. Yeah. And I believe most of the time they are lost as a goose.
Amen.
Come on. Go ahead, preacher.
Because committed people know where they're supposed to be. Unless they are deathly sick or something or providentially hindered, committed people will be in the house of God. Brother Dave, you've got some up there that are committed. You don't have to beg, pump, prime them. You don't have to call them on the phone every other week, see, oh, are you doing okay, honey? Put a pacifier in his mouth. I told Brother Gene I was coming down to his church when he asked me to preach down there one time. I told him, I got a message. I'm bringing some baby wipes and diapers and pacifiers.
That's
and I'm not going to tell you what the title of the message was because Gene knows it. You commit yourself to reading the Bible through this year?
Yeah.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
Make a commitment tonight
and
say, listen, although I was maybe unfaithful some in 2014, by the grace and help of God, in 2015, it's going to be better.
Yeah.
Reading your Bible. What about coming to Sunday school? Increasing the Sunday school.
Come on, preacher.
I got people that think they don't need to come to Sunday school. That's our learning time. That's our learning time. What about getting one family in church? If everybody at New Life or here or wherever you belong would invite one family, the church would have to build the next week.
Right.
What about making a commitment to do that?
Come on, preacher.
What about winning one soul to Christ, setting your eye on somebody and being a mentor to them and getting them to Jesus?
Amen.
What about setting a time each side of the day just to pray? You know what? We ain't preached until we've prayed. We've not taught until we've prayed. We've not sung until we've prayed.
Amen.
Nothing will happen unless we pray.
Right.
And if we pray, you know what we'll get? We'll get the power of God on our service, and God will be real to his people. For the last 3 months, 4 months, our church sets aside Thursday evening at 7 o'clock to pray. Now, we got our Wednesday night service, but Thursday night's prayer time. Whoever wants to pray, and if you can't pray at the church with us, you pray at home at 7 o'clock. And we pray for a number of people. We probably got 50 or 60 people. We call by name and ask God to intervene in whatever situation they're in. Pray. Would you commit to praying? If your church, if your pastor asked you to come and pray on an off night, would you come? Most people sit at home and watch TV and wonder why their lost ones are dying and going to hell. What about developing your talent this year? There are some people at Harmony, Promise, Rock of Ages, Center that have talents and are not using them for the glory of God. What about developing your talent? You say, I can't sing. Well, practice more than you can. I can't sing because God didn't call me to sing. That's why he made birds. What about that member of your family that is lost without God? And you see them at special times, you see them on special days, and you never witness to them.
Come on, preacher.
Why don't you take the time and commit to that and win them to Jesus. Amen. At least give them the gospel.
Yeah.
Psalms 37:5 says, he shall bring it to pass.
Yeah.
He will bring it to pass.
Yeah.
He'll bring it to pass. What are you going to do this coming year? Same old thing that you did last year? Who are you going to have? Same old crowd that you had last year? I get frustrated when I don't see some things happening. I get discouraged when I don't see some things happening. I mean, we've been praying on the prayer list, and I've been working on one man and his wife for 2 years. And you know what? Hey, we pray for those that are indifferent, that know the way, but they're just indifferent to the cause of Christ. You never know when God's going to load your little wagon up for you. They've been to church the last four services. Last four services. I'm telling you, when we pray and commit to it, God will show and do something for us.
Amen.
So my challenge is to you is get committed in 2015 if you want 2015 to be better than 2014. What are you going to commit to? God's calling you. God's calling you. He's speaking to you, everyone in the building.
That's right.
Everyone can do something for him.
Amen.
Amen. You may not can preach. You may not can sing. You may not can teach. But everybody can do something for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? Hey, little is much when God is in it.
Right. Amen.
But Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He didn't turn around. He didn't look back. And he went to the cross for you and I. That we, when we died, we could have a home in heaven if we trusted him as our Savior. What would we do for him? We have people say, I'd die for Jesus. Liars.
Right.
They wouldn't die for him because they won't live for him now.
Right.
I believe there is coming a time in short, that, hey, things are going to really change.
Right.
And unless you've just been buried in a rock, they already changed.
That's right.
And they're not changing for the better.
I
don't care what Obama promises you or his mom.
That's right.
And Frank's over praying to me to shut up.